Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another show brought to you by BBS Radio and my producer, Don Newsom. And I welcome you this lovely Sunday morning or afternoon, whichever it is for you. And I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for the day. And as I promised you last week, we come to you. We were supposed to have two guests today, the authors of a book called 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities, by Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. Ms. Jones is unable to be with us this morning, and she sends her regrets. And I'm so sorry because she's a delightful lady to speak to, but I am not disappointed in being able to bring you Larry Flaxman. Larry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. And I'm going to be asking you some questions. I had spoken to my listeners in prior shows about your book because
okay.
I don't know if Marie spoke to you about it at all. Anyway, there are a couple things that I learned from your book that I never knew. One of them was the bell curve, which I had thought was used to mark term papers, okay? Mm-hmm. But the magical bell curve, which in your book refers to betting on six numbers, lotteries, the lottery,
right.
Okay? Which I found fascinating, and I shared with my listeners and also someone who came to me for a reading. Now, it's very cute about that because the one thing is that this gentleman had issues relating to women, basically, and I mentioned it to him, and he had asked me to give him lottery numbers, and I first said to him, well, if I knew what lottery numbers were going to be pulled, why would I give them to you? I'd just do them myself. Am I right? Why would I give away something for nothing? Hello.
Yeah.
At any rate, and then he said, no, seriously. And I said, all right, the best I can do is I read a book. I told him about your book, and I said, it's called The Bell Curve. You have to do six numbers in sequence, as you know, in the lottery. And he said, yeah, but what six numbers? And so I said, well, since you have female issues in your life, why don't you use, like, the birth dates or the ages of the females in your family, including his little daughter, who's only 5.5 months old, and I suggested he do that. Well, I saw him a week later. He went, and the first thing he said, I would have won $5,000 if I bet in the six-number lottery, but I bid the seven-number lottery, and I didn't win. So I lost $5,000.
Oh, no. although he lost the lottery, did he get his women problems straightened out?
No, he didn't.
So he really did lose all the way around.
He sure loses all the way around as far as I'm concerned. But I thought you'd like to know that it worked.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is, and I just howled, and somebody else pointed out to me, you know, Phyllis, you told him he had women issues, and he didn't believe you, and he bet seven numbers because you're a woman. Ha, ha, ha. I said, that's a good way of looking at it.
It is.
Anyway, I intend to try it myself sometime. How's that?
And
I don't have male issues either, so it's okay if you tell me which number is to bid. Anyway, the other thing I learned from your book was that there is a form of dyslexia called dyscalculia. How do you pronounce it? Dyscalculia?
Dyscalculia, yeah.
Dyscalculia, okay. I did not know all the years that I struggled in math that I have that.
Really?
But reading it was the first time I was enlightened to this.
Mm-hmm.
And an inability, which I can remember my mom trying to, when I was 4 or 5 years old, trying to teach me how to budget money and handle allowance. Well, it didn't make sense to me, and it doesn't make sense to me now, I'm sorry to say. I can calculate, I can not calculate, I can guesstimate, approximate? like nobody's business. In fact, I've done most of my, I've had multi-million dollar contracts. And because I can add numbers six or seven times, same numbers, and come out with six or seven answers, even using a tape, I've learned to approximate very, very well, and I can come to within $100 to $1,000 on a multi-million dollar contract bid. So that's how I learned to get around my problem. I just guesstimate and try to stick close to it. And if I concentrate on it, I'm usually pretty good at that. But I found that it makes me feel less dumb, if that makes sense to you, less stupid and less ignorant, because I thought that this was, and my parents used to swear up and down, because they were mathematical geniuses in the family, that I was doing it just to get their goat, and I truly wasn't. So I'm so glad. Go ahead.
No, it is a legitimate malady. I mean, there are many, many people throughout the world that suffer from the same thing. And, you know, my upbringing was very, very similar. I'm an absolute idiot when it comes to math. You know, when it really, if it's anything beyond simple balancing of my checkbook, I really don't want to mess with it. I struggled through calculus and algebra through college, just barely making the passing grades. And even to this day, you know, until we actually wrote this book, my interest in numbers was actually very minimal. And then on writing this book, believe it or not, absolutely. And
I can believe that.
And you know, I think that's a very common thread. Everyone I've talked to, you know, has said I hate numbers. And you know, really, until you start to dig into the numbers and you start to understand a little bit more behind the scenes, you know, it is very easy to get frustrated with them, especially with the mathematical aspects of it. But they're really quite fascinating.
Well, I can read that, and I did read your book through, which surprised the heck out of me, because I thought, oh, geez, numbers, blah, you know. But since I am a person of my word, and I said the book should be sent to me, it just struck me somehow as, well, I need to learn about this anyway. And I was surprised that I was able, A, to read it, and B, understand it. So I have been recommending your book to my listeners as a very good way to understand numbers.
Well, we tried to really make it fun as a reading tome. We really wanted folks that were in the same position as me really to be able to read something like this and not fall asleep. And,
well, that's
good. Yeah, when you think of numbers, the first thing, you know, your eyes start closing, you start getting drowsy. And we really wanted to make this kind of a fun book. We really wanted to make this so it was interesting, that people would be engaged with it, and that, you know, they would find it more than anything else, they would find it fascinating.
Well, I have to say you scored on all 3 points, at least with me, and I am not a numbers person. So
after this, you'll be. Maybe we've converted you.
You've converted me. I still can't see numbers properly, however. I did suffer slight brain trauma years ago, 30 years ago, and now numbers just disappear on me. They fade off the page. It triggered what's now called scotopic sensitivity syndrome. It's an inability to read black words on white paper sometimes, and it's correctable with colored lenses, believe it or not, and that's another time and story, but that's what really triggered my inability to do math. I cannot balance a checkbook. I think I've done it once or twice in my entire life. My mother could sit down and balance a checkbook without even losing a beat to within a penny. I come in, and I will grunt and groan and do my best. Not that I'm not trying. It's just that I can't see the numbers properly sometimes. And
well, I wonder if a lot of that is not just kind of a mental block. You know, I wonder if you've not put up some type of a mental block.
It's possible, but when somebody hands something to me and I can't see the end of their finger or the paper it's written on, I don't think it's a mental block. I think it's a visual issue.
No, I don't think. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Because sometimes when people have tried to point it out to me, because I'm really good, believe it or not, when I try hard, I can be good, but, you know, it just, the numbers, literally the whole page disappears on me and I can't see anything. So that's kind of why I'm guessing that it was something else of that nature that occurred. But other than that, I will say I'm very pleased with your book, and I'm looking forward to reading your second book, The Resonance Key.
Good. Absolutely great.
And I do have it, by the way. Now, what started you on this journey, you and Miss Jones?
what started us on our
journey of writing about math. Yes.
Oh, about math. Okay. Well, there's really I'd love to be able to give you some sort of a huge synchronistic paranormal study about it. But really, there's not. To be perfectly honest with you, the publisher suggested that we write about this. Our idea, after we had written our proposal, our proposal basically was to write something about consciousness and the paranormal. We really wanted to write something about how the paranormal and consciousness and the brain and all those things kind of tie together, which our second and third book we actually had a chance to delve into. Mm-hmm. But we presented that proposal to our publisher for the first book together, and the publisher said, "No, why don't you write something about 11/11?" And the two of us talked about it, and we're like, "Huh? What's that? What's 11/11? You know, we have both experienced it at one time or another, but we really weren't aware that it was a widespread phenomena. In fact, both of us didn't know that it was something that many people really had experienced and that continue to experience on a daily basis. We thought that this was a very singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talked into writing it, actually. So that's the story, and I'm going to stick to it. We were kind of asked to write about it, so that was how the genesis of that actually began. When we first started writing the book, interestingly enough, we were absolutely scared to death that we weren't not going to find any research material behind it. We thought,
really?
We thought, you know, we'd both, Marie especially, has had 11/11, the time prompt phenomena occur throughout her life, and I've had it sporadically, but we really thought we were going to have difficulty finding contributors for the book. We thought we were going to have a hard time finding research about it. We really wanted to kind of stick to the science aspect of it, much more so than strictly the metaphysical or New Age. So we thought, you know, this is going to be really difficult to find research material. Well, we started, and the amount of material was just incredible.
It bothered you, and you had a hard time, I'll bet, separating out what to put in and what not. Yeah.
Absolutely. There was just a ton of stuff, and it was actually interesting. As we were writing the book, we started noticing in our own lives much more number synchronicities ourselves. As we were sending chapters back and forth and actually writing the book, Marie would send me a reply back, and she would say, you know, laugh out loud, "Did you see the timestamp on your email?" And the timestamp on the email would be more often than not 11/11, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it wasn't something that, you know, I had planned out, or she would send me an email and it would be, you know, exactly 1/11 or 2/22. It was a series. All of our emails throughout the book, we continued to have that. We would have synchronistic experiences with those numbers. So we kind of thought, you know, as we're wrapping the book up, you know, this really was something that was kind of destined for us to write.
I was going to say the universe has a way of laughing out loud, doesn't it?
It does.
And in a metaphorical way, taking a 2x4 and thumping you over the head with it till you get it.
Absolutely. beating you into submission until you finally realize what's staring you in the face.
Yes. Well, I think that's absolutely phenomenal. I really do. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I think it's a book that is really needed because it does explain things. And it brings them into a way of understanding it. I especially liked a lot of the history that you brought together from very early history of the Egyptians and prior to that, myth about the myth stories, the stories from all over, and the universal numbers, the sacred geometry. I've had a lot of time prompts as well, and as I said, it's 11/11 refers to, I think you put in there, is the God number, you know. It refers to God, the primal source.
Right.
And that to me is very fascinating, because a lot of people, when they're just beginning to go into the metaphysical, will start seeing this number all over. It's like it's a one way of moving in, and some of the, if you know some of your signs and symbols that you used, frankly, are very similar to crop circles.
I've actually read that before. When we were doing the research for the book, we actually found quite a bit of synchronicities between crop circles and numbers.
And you know what I also noticed was that a lot of these signs and symbols are were, and are, I still think, being used in making quilts.
Oh, now that's something I didn't know. In making quilts?
In making quilts. I was stunned. I have I don't know if you can get it, the DVD of Suzanne Taylor on crop circles. Absolutely wonderful book. I have it here somewhere. She's going to be on my show in the near future. It's one on Earth. It's about the crop circle mysteries. And I pointed that out to her, and she said, no, she'd never heard that. But if you look at any of the quilts, for example, from the Amish and from some other sources that are very classical finds, you will find they are almost exactly like some of the crop circles. In fact, some of them look like, I don't know which came first, the crop circle or the quilt designs. So I just thought that was absolutely fascinating and wondered if you had, and apparently haven't, found that to be a synchronistic.
No, I've actually never heard that before. But definitely I'm going to have to do some research on that. It sounds like it would be a synchronistic, probably a synchronicity as far as like the pattern or the numerics that go into action. Designing and executing the pattern.
Yes, exactly. And I would think you will find also that a number of earlier hits, like basket weavings and, not basket weavings, blanking weavings, basket weavings from the early Asazi, and some of the other native African and others have somewhat similar designs, if not the exact same designs, in their traditional clothing or robes or what have you. And Chinese, I would say, too. You might want to check out the Chinese, but that's what I saw was fascinating. But what I loved so much about it is, can you tell me what is the conclusion that you draw from your book? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in. Let me give you the number. And his name, again, is Larry Flaxman. It's 1-888-815-9756. If you wish to ask questions, because he has graciously agreed to take questions, if he can, if all possible, answer them for you. So if you are out there, you can breathe harder, but I'd prefer you call in and ask him questions if you'd like. Okay, go ahead, Larry, answer the question.
That's actually a very difficult question. Well, it depends. It's either an easy question to answer or a very difficult question to answer.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I'll give you the short answer first. There is no answer. The experience that you have with the synchronistic number experience, whether it's a time prompt, a sequence, whatever it is, the sign that you have experienced, it's a very individualistic experience. It really, there's no universal meaning to it. In other words, just the fact that you're noticing the numbers, something inside of you is triggering and you're waking up to pay attention.
Right.
But that's the big question. Pay attention to what? And there really is no answer to that. It's such an individual, experience that what you need to be paying attention to is probably vastly different from what I need to be paying attention to. But the numbers themselves, the numbers that speaking to you, the numbers that speak to you, all they're basically doing is telling you to wake up and look around you. That's it. That's the short answer of it. We don't know from a scientific perspective, from a metaphysical perspective, what the exact connection between a specific number and reality is. It's just the fact that it's telling us something, that there's something in our life that we need to be aware of.
Okay, and I think that's the major thing that we need to emphasize here, and I will say I concur with you on that. Each person is a very unique individual. There is a dimension that I've gone through when I was in an altered state where there were nothing but numbers and symbols, and each one was assigned a meaning. And I'll tell you, if I thought that things were difficult enough for trying to understand numbers here on this earth, you have no idea how confused I was in looking all these symbols go romping by me, each supposedly having a significance or meaning, and I'm going, what? But apparently that's not unusual, that there are others, I have understood, who have, in another state, an altered state, gone into a field, if you will, or a dimension where there are just numbers and symbols and signs, and that they each have a specific meaning that speak to the unconscious mind, not the conscious mind,
sure,
but the unconscious mind, and that a lot of meaning is packed into those particular symbols or numbers.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely,
okay.
That makes a tremendous amount of sense, because matter, objects, are subatomic. They're made of atomic particles. And,
mm-hmm,
of course, each one of those particles, when you distill everything down, basically life is a series of binary numbers like a computer, zeros and ones. There's,
mm-hmm,
either something that turns it on, a zero, or something that turns it off. Well, I got that flipped around. Zeros or ones, zero off, one on.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you look at matter from a very, very quantum perspective, and you look at it from the very smallest, tiniest little thing that you possibly can, there definitely are numbers that are involved in that, in the creation of that. So that makes perfect sense. That really makes you also kind of wonder about the fact that you're able to attain that state and see the numbers like that.
Mm-hmm.
How many dimensions that there are, you know, to me, that makes me question, you know, are the numbers that we're experiencing in our dimension strictly, you know, a three-dimensional construct,
yeah,
or is there other numbers or other things that we would consider to be a number that would be, that we don't even know about, if that makes any sense?
I would guess the latter, okay, because I think there are other fields, and I've been through a few. I mean, in an altered state, I have gone through some places, I said, where some were just symbols. And there were a lot of numbers, and it was supposed to be like grabbing my attention. Now, like, pay attention to what you're seeing and remember it. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, with my dyslexia, I'm going to remember what?
they picked the wrong person, huh?
They took the wrong choice. The only thing I can think of is my subconscious mind must be working pretty well, because my conscious mind goes, yeah, I don't know a thing, Charlie. So some of this too, did you find any, what are some of the more surprising elements that you found that struck you as fascinating in this? I mean, I know being dragged kicking and screaming into the world of doing these numbers, but what, besides knowing that the universe planned this for you, what are some of the most amazing things that you learned, and has it changed your life any? Has it made life easier, more difficult? Has it given you a wake-up call? Talk to me about, it has to have significance. It has to, beyond the obvious.
Well, there definitely has been significance. I wouldn't say that personally I've had any type of a life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't think that I've had anything that has, you know, completely altered the course of, or the path of my life. But with that being said, I'm certainly more aware of my surroundings from this point.
Okay.
And after writing the book and being aware of these numbers, I'm certainly more aware that there is a greater, I'm trying to think how to word this, there is a greater force at play than just what we're able to see. You know, our five senses are very limited, I believe, in what we're actually able to discern. I truly believe that there is much, much more to the world and to reality as a whole. And I think the numbers, being aware of the numbers and being aware of these strange synchronicities and the connection to our consciousness, I think really has shown me that, you know, the world is not just black and white. There's much, much more to it than what we see. So in a way, I guess I could say it has changed me in a little bit. I consider myself a very scientific, very rational individual. And, you know, my perspective is I want to see evidence, black and white evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it to me. You know, I live in Arkansas, but I'm close enough to Missouri, the show me state. That, you know, I could say, you know, show me it to prove it to me. But, you know, with the studies of the numbers and after writing this book, you know, there's a lot of things now where I'm not so sure that science in its present incarnation really can completely understand at this point. There's some things I believe that science can't measure, which,
yep,
you know,
yep,
that is a drastic change from the way I was even a year and a half ago. I mean, that was, you know, that has been a tremendous shift for me. But as
mm-hmm.
far as actually changing my life,
well, didn't it? You're more aware.
I'm more aware. That's really about the extent.
And but yet, you know how important that is, how phenomenal that is, how many most people go through their life dumb as a stone and blind as a bat.
Sure, sure.
Most, so that,
yeah, with
to
their
me is a
blinders on.
Yes.
It is, very much.
And it's kind of cute that you said that about Missouri, because my mother was from St. Louis. And
really?
When I was wondering if certain things were actual or not, I'd turn around and say, I'm, my mother's from Missouri, show me. I don't know, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. We don't have anything. So I had to tuck into my mother's, poor darling, and appropriate her saying because I had none for myself. But I think part of what our life is that we must, in order to become fully expressing ourselves, fully human, if you will, fully cognizant aware, must become aware of what's on around us. We live, I think, so much in an unconscious state. We just sort of, and I'm concerned a lot about the kids using the computers and games so much because they are simply wrapping themselves up even further into a place where their awareness is not expanded, that they are shutting out the world around them, literally. And while they can gain a lot of information, I think from an emotional standpoint, this is maybe not such a hot thing to do. Does that make sense? And yet I'm all for gaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And if you can use the internet to do that, but if that's where your beginning and end of your relationships are, how horrific, because you divorce yourself from nature.
Sure, absolutely.
But, you know, that's one woman's opinion. And I think it's fascinating because it's really important that we all become more aware we are. I mean, we can drive to and from work and not be aware we are. I try to be aware of where I'm driving. I try to look for numbers. For me, the numbers I look for are 444.
Really? What, is there a significance
yes,
to that for you?
Yes, that's the angelic number. That's the number for angels.
Oh, okay.
So you say 444 or 444. Or, you know, a series of fours that stands for angels. And I will tell you something that is really phenomenal. Last 3 or 4 years, I put in my mind I wanted to see either 3 fours or 4 fours at least 3 times each day. For me, the number 3 is if it happens 3 times, you can take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's worth money in the bank. If it happens, that means it's going to happen. If it happens 3 times, that's it for me. You know, I don't have to be concerned about it. So almost, and I say almost, even if I didn't go outside, every day I saw either a series of 3 fours or 4 fours
mm-hmm.
for 3 years. To me, that's numerically, and I don't know what the number would be, but to me that's numerically almost impossible.
Yeah, I'm sure statistically that the odds of that probably are fairly low that you would experience that. The number 4 actually has a lot of significance to it. Now that I'm kind of thinking back through that, science, when you talk about physics and you talk about general relativity, they actually consider nature as being 4-dimensional, time being 1 dimension, and then 3-dimensional space. Which is 4-dimension. 4 has a tremendous amount of significance in religious circles. I don't know if you're aware of in the Judeo-Christian symbolism, the Tetragrammaton is the four-letter name of God. Yahweh was the four-letter name
really?
Of God.
Oh, really? Now, isn't that
Absolutely.
Now that I didn't know.
There were 4 matriarchs of Judaism: Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. 4 species. The 4 cups of wine to drink on the Jewish holidays of Passover. I refer to Judaism quite a bit because I'm Jewish, so I use that
I'm
as my
Catholic,
frame of
so I can
reference.
Understand the Christianity part.
Okay. Yeah. You know, there's 4 sons to be dealt with on Passover, the 4 expressions of redemption on Passover.
Really?
4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Yeah.
That
the 4
I know.
Gospels.
Yes.
Absolutely. So 4 is a very prescient number. So that's interesting that you experience that so often.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't limit to where it comes from. I just, and the thing is, it'll either come on TV, in the newspaper, on phone numbers, on the sides of cabs. Sometimes I just say, between here and on my way to meditation class, which is a matter of 20 or 25 minute drive for me, I wanted to see 444 three times, and almost invariably I will run across either phone numbers on the side of a car, like a taxi, or I will see the license plate.
That's interesting. And that's within a very short period of time. Sure. That would certainly be a number synchronicity. Absolutely. If you have those sequence of numbers that have followed you out throughout your life, then statistically there's probably very little chance that that's just random happenstance. There's a reason why that's occurring. And again, going back to your question, I can't tell you what the answer to it is. I don't know. It's very particular to your situation, but there's a reason that you are aware of that number.
And the other number is 7.
Well, now 7 is a lucky number. 7 is,
it is.
Straight across the board is a lucky number. Every time you go to the casino, you hope you roll a 7.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, lucky 7 on the
dice. I didn't know
Absolutely.
That. Tells you how much I play gamble, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to think about it. No, 3s, 4s, and 7s. From a childhood on, 3s and 7s were really important. And as an adult, 4s are important because I found out it was the angel number, so I just made a conscious choice to make that an important number for me.
Well, and the fact that it sure does, and the fact that we're talking your two significant numbers are 7 and 4, you add those up, that adds to 11, and we're talking about my book, 1111.
Synchronicity, you've bitten me
Absolutely.
On again.
Yep. Just one more example of synchronicity.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. I mean, and it wasn't planned this way, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you it was not planned this way. In fact, I would have been hard put to numerically think about it, to be honest with you, because I'm not good at numbers.
That's what I was about to say. If we get much beyond, you know, adding those two binary numbers like that, we're probably screwed. I probably can't help much. So as long as, you know, I can add those up, but let's not get any further into math.
I'm not going to go any further because I'd be as lost as you are. We'd be throwing each other life preservers, trying not to drown in our intellectual darkness here. Anyway, if anyone would like to call and talk to him about the numbers, because I ask people also to look into using the numbers in their everyday life and call to mind this. There are some numbers that are considered important also. For example, the number 1 refers to God, 2 refers to the duality of nature, the dual nature we have. 3 refers to the masters or the master number. Now, can you enlighten me on why it would be considered a master number?
On what number 3?
Three. Why is that considered a master number?
Well, the number 3 has a lot of significance to it. Are you aware of the triune nature of 3? Have you heard of that?
Yes, God. God, body,
absolutely.
Mind, and spirit, earth, matter, and mind. I know I used to make up several of them. Birth, life, death. Let's see, what else is there? That's enough of a start, isn't it? I hope.
Well, you nailed it. 3 symbolizes a triad or trinity. It's a symbol of the body, mind, and spirit. It has definitely universal significance through it. Throughout history and all over the world, it's a very well-known symbol. It's also a very interesting old Indian symbol from the Indian culture. I'm seeing if I can pronounce this right. I can see the word in my head, but I'm not sure
Spell
I can completely pronounce it. Chintamani. It's Chintamani. I don't want to brutalize the word, but yeah, it's an Indian
culture?
Symbol. It's from the Indian culture.
East Indian.
Yeah. It's a sign of happiness, and it's composed of the triad symbol as well. It's found all throughout their Vedic books, and also in the temples of heaven in Beijing, China.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 also refers to the triune mother goddess in pre-Christian Celtic society. Another significance of the number 3. The triad, of course, is a very defining character in Celtic religion and mythology. There were female triads. There were male triads as well. Oak, ash, and thorn were fairy triads of trees, for those that are Celtic. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. There's also druidic and shamanistic overtures as well with the number three. But number three is a very predominant number. It stands very much for solidness or reality, substantial. It's a complete number. Anything that's considered complete basically has some sort of a attachment to the number three in it as well. God has three attributes that have been attributed to him as well.
Right.
You know about that.
Yep.
There are three divisions completing time. There's past, present, and future. You know, three different cycles of time. There's three different persons in grammar as far as our relationship of God with mankind. 3 degrees between our knowledge and qualities. There's all kinds. We could go on. The three kingdoms of God. You could go on and on and on about the religio ramifications of that number. But number three, suffice it to say, it's a very popular number as far as what we're talking about.
Okay. That sounds absolutely fascinating. I was aware of some of it, but, you know, you don't think of it when in their day-to-day context. You're going through life. This is not something that you keep in the forefront of your mind, which is interesting because you would think so. Of course, I think today we have a tendency more to slide over that than we did before, or perhaps I'm mistaken. There's not such an emphasis put on that in today's world. A lot of what we've seen tends to be set aside for new stuff. Go ahead.
Sure. No, it does. But, you know, again, going back to three, there is scientific attachment to that number as well. Just so folks, you know, still think I'm a scientist because I am. There is definitely scientific correlation with it as well. All genetic information is decoded in a three-type system called a triplet codon system. Three is the atomic number of lithium, which, of course, is a valuable and important mineral that we have, chemical. White light, what we use to see, is composed of three different hues, red, green, and blue. We have three spatial dimensions that we perceive. Of course, science believes there's four dimensions, including time as well, but what we can actually visualize, we have three-dimensional as well. Mm-hmm. But no, three is a very important number. And if I can't stress anything else, it's that really all numbers are important. It's not just, you know, three or seven or four. There is a special significance basically to every single number. Every number has something that's special about it. And before we wrote this book, you know, really, I didn't believe that because I didn't know. I didn't know that, you know, that there was an importance to the number five or there was an importance to the number six.
What's
What's
important to number five?
Oh, gosh, you're going to make me have to remember that.
I can tell you from a mythic standpoint, from the one where I learned about it, it stands for a change.
Oh,
change,
interesting.
Which I thought was very interesting. That if you see a series of three fives, it meant change is coming.
I know there's some spiritual significance to it as well. It has, there's different, different things with that as well. There's symbolism as well, as far as like the Masons, the Rosicrucians. Some of the symbols have Masonic numerology
meaning
to it as well. Absolutely.
Okay, that sounds interesting. I just wondered because that's another thing that we learned. I also learned that 666 is not the sign of the beast, though many people in Christianity tend to think it's so. It's really something else. Thank you. I'm sorry. It's hay fever sign season this year, and I can tell. Apparently everybody else can now, too. It's very interesting because the 666, what significance is that number, do you think?
Well, 666 has such a bad rap in our culture, strictly because of one little Bible verse, and that was in Book of Revelation 13, 17, and 18, where, and it was a very cryptic verse as well, and it asserted that 666 was the number of a man associated with the beast. It didn't really come right out and say, you know, this is the devil and you should hate this number for the rest of eternity.
Right.
But we've really picked that up as being one of the most recognized symbols for the Antichrist or for the mm-hmm. devil. But mm-hmm. really, outside of our culture, 666 actually has, there's a lot of positive connections to that as well. In the Chinese culture, 666 it means success, and it's a very positive number as well. 666 is there's lots of different things beyond just the number of the beast. The sum of all the numbers on a roulette wheel, for instance, is 666.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 666 in the Bible was the number of the descendants who returned to Jerusalem and Judah from the Babylonian exile. 666, the number of gold talents that King Solomon collected in a single year. 666 was also a very visible thing in Aryan Brotherhood as well, which is that there's some negative connotations with that as well. But you know, there's really nothing that has shown that there is anything more evil about the number 666 than there is about any other number that's out there.
Right.
You know, somebody could decide that tomorrow the number 3 all of a sudden, you know, is the sign of the devil. Yeah, and, you know, really, what does that actually mean? You know, really,
nothing.
A number, there can't be an evil number. I mean, the number can't hurt you. There's really no significance, really, to that. But people tend to believe, you know, what they tend to believe.
Well, there's a lot of superstition going on in this sort of point, too, which is sad.
Absolutely.
In some ways. Because numbers are really like anything else. It's just a symbol. Because that's the other thing. So numbers are symbols with, recognizable symbols with meanings. We've used them for what? Money purposes, right? To count money, to be able to take track of things, to do inventory, whatever. So that is very, very positive. And also, I think I seem to remember that at one time teaching people math was hidden, except for those who were very knowledgeable or those who were educated or special, in order maintain control over the rest of the population. Am I wrong, or am I remembering?
You're absolutely correct. It was considered a forbidden knowledge. It was something, you know, anything that would increase the knowledge or the intelligence of the common population was really frowned upon, especially in, you know, back in medieval times. So no, you're absolutely right.
And that's amazing, because some of that concept, I think, in different forms, is still prevalent today, keeping people in ignorance of one subject matter or another. For me, is a form of power control.
Well, some would say the media is responsible for that. So, absolutely,
really?
I can see that. Oh, sure. The media, you know, depending on your beliefs of the media system, some believe that the media basically feeds you the information. They have an agenda, and they feed you the information based on their agenda. So they're educating you based on what they want you to know or what they want you to believe.
I can understand to a certain extent, but with the Internet, and I know I said earlier the Internet has good uses, and this is one of them, it's good because you can get a lot of information, and on the other time, you can get a lot of misinformation, let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
I think you've got to use wisdom and knowledge and your brain. God knows we got one from Him. Mm-hmm. So. But using your own brain is very important, and not just listening to other people say and parroting it.
Sure.
But I just find all of this just absolutely fascinating. So what are some of the other things that really surprised you when you brought about this this creation of a book? What is it that really surprised you or was an aha moment for you?
What really surprised me as far as the process of it?
Yes. And what you learned. What came out of your knowledge, something that, as you said, you didn't want to have to do, but, if they want me to do this, I have to do that.
Well, beyond just learning about the numbers and the importance of the numbers and learning about some of the knowledge that's been imparted due to numbers, especially when you look at, like, ancient architecture and you look at some of the ancient uses with numbers, as far as like pyramids and some of the Roslyn Chapel and some of the architectural wonders of the world. When you take that completely out of the picture, the thing that I think I learned about the process of writing the book was it is a tremendous amount of work. I really had no idea how hard it is to write a book. And, you know, between the research and the writing and putting it all together, it's a huge undertaking. And so that was definitely an eye-opener for me.
Did you think it would just flow like a river?
I really did. You know, I've always been a very creative writer, and you know, it's always been very easy for me to write things, especially you know if it's a topic that I'm interested in. So I really had no idea that there would be any difficulty at all. You know, when someone's actually paying you to write something, that you know the block kind of comes up a little bit, because I never had that problem before. But you know, then we actually started writing the book a little bit, and you know, it's not an impossibility by far. We pulled it off. And I loved writing the book, but it certainly was a lesson for me. I really didn't realize. I mean, it is a full-time job in itself, and I did not realize that. And I've already got two full-time jobs, so yeah, it was a learning experience.
Well, I feel sorry for you. And your family that you used to have.
Yes, thankfully that's still intact. They stuck by me through it, and they stuck through it with me for my second book, and now we have a third book that we're writing.
Wow.
Due in December, so yeah, it's kind of been a long-standing thing. But no, I guess the thing that I really learned, truthfully, as far as the numbers, mm-hmm. is the amount of connectedness that there is with the numbers. You know, it's one thing to really think about it and, oh gosh, I've got to balance my checkbook today, or I need to remember my PIN number to get into the ATM machine, or, you know, all the numbers that are, numbers, mm-hmm. they're so prevalent in our life that we tend to just not pay attention to them. You know, we've got PIN numbers, we've got voicemail numbers, we've got credit card numbers, social security numbers, driver's license
yeah.
numbers. You know, each one of us have 5 million numbers with us that we have to remember
mm-hmm.
and we have to pay attention to. But we don't really think anything of it. You know, it's kind of like,
right.
oh, well, it's just one more annoyance that we have to deal with.
Uh-huh.
And with writing the book, it really has shown me that the numbers really have a very special place. Numbers really are much more than just an annoyance. There really is some special significance to them, especially for folks that have had the time pump phenomenon experience, or they've had a synchronistic experience concerning a number. You know, that to me is just fascinating that people throughout all walks of life, all cultures, socioeconomic stand in life, that the commonality is that we all have numbers in common.
Exactly. Now, Laura, I'm going to ask you to take a little time to leave contact information, provide it to our listeners, so
okay.
if they want to, they can get in touch with you or where they order the book, et cetera. So you have the floor
okay.
again.
All right. Well, you can order the book from your local bookstore if they don't carry it in stock. Barnes & Noble carries them in stock generally, Books A Million, Borders, et cetera. You can get the books from Amazon.com. It's pretty much universal. Any place where finer books are sold, you'll find our two books that are out. Marie G. Jones and myself are partners in a project called Para Explorers, and Para Explorers is our writing/research initiative that we're doing. The website for that is www.paraexplorers.com. That's paraexplorers.com. And it's a website where you can kind of keep track of everything that we've got going on, our writing. We have a lot of unique material on there as well. We interview some big names in the paranormal and science communities, things like that. So that's one way to get a hold of us. I also run an organization called Our Past. My website is www.arpast.org. Let's see, what else can I tell you? We're always happy to talk to people. If you guys want to email or whatever through the website, my email address is Larry, Larry, at paraexplorers.com. Marie's is Marie at paraexplorers.com as well, and we're both always happy to answer any questions or chat with folks.
Fabulous. I am delighted to hear that. Thank you. And I guess people are really listening, because my feeling is, and that this has been an eye-opener for some people and a confirmation for others and an explanation yet for others with regard to phenomena that are occurring in their life. And I encourage people to, you know, talk to you and Marie if they so desire, and
sure,
to keep up with what's going on. You say, I'm reading your book, The Resonance Key, now, and, you know, I'll be delighted to have you come back on, you and Marie, to talk about that book as well. And I am an avid reader. I guess you might have figured that out by now. I have a passion. If it's a book and I can get through it, I read it. I'd rather read than eat any day of the week, I think. Books are my passion and my love. But at any rate, you know, you've been a delightful guest, quite frankly.
Well, thank you.
And it's amazing, because normally I speak to people, as Marie may have told you, before going on the air, because it usually establishes a rapport. You know who you're talking to. You get a feel for people. And this was cold call, in case my listeners didn't realize that. And I think you've done a marvelous job. I think we've both done a marvelous job on this one. And yeah, I'm so glad that you were able to come on today.
Well, I appreciate you definitely having me. It's been very enjoyable. I hope I get a good report card.
Oh, you're going to get a good report card. You get a gold star in your paper, dear.
Okay.
We do have a few more minutes. So if anybody has, we have about 5 more minutes. So if anyone is interested in calling in with comments or what have you, you know, feel free to do so. If not, we're going to just continue talking, because I find this, again, interesting. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. I'm fascinated by what you do, probably more than you're interested in what I do. I would love to get, you know, the 60-second reading.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
What
can you
know?
Not just talk anything? I mean, just... This is the first time that we've met, right? We haven't talked previously. You don't know anything about me. I don't know anything about you. You know, just
right.
Just tell me,
Larry.
What I'm
feeling is that you have a very significant place in your life, that a mission, shall we say? And I strongly got that feeling when you mentioned that you had a book you wanted to write, and you sort of had to. We're forced to write this book in order to sort of get the permission to write the book that you did, which I guess is The Resonance Key, or is another book that's coming up next?
Well, part of it was The Resonance Key, but actually most of it is going to be in our new book. The new book is actually mostly about deja vu and the deja vu experience, and how paranormal experiences, many of them, can be explained by brain anomalies.
I've heard that.
We're now getting the chance to write the first book that we wanted to.
Okay. I'm going to have to say I kind of disagree with that theory. It might be true in part, but I think it is a part of the brain's ability to see into the future. My feeling is that you were given this to write first and The Resonance Key so that you would have an open mind and not try to fit a round peg into a square hole or vice versa.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Book for you and what's coming was crucial, because otherwise you wouldn't get it. Okay? You just wouldn't get it. And it is important enough and you'll be reaching enough people that it was vitally important for you to be able to learn yourself, i.e. grab your awareness and extend your awareness beyond the scientific portion, because the scientific explanation is only going to go so far for you. You are going to run into things that are completely and totally different. And it is using a part of the human brain that has not been utilized, though these many millennia, I should say, I was going to say centuries, but it's really millennia that the human brain has fired up to. And you are going to learn that fact. And I think some of what you're going to learn as you go along is going to blow you out of the water. But I think you are going to be very famous in your own right, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I think Marie is also. And I think it is a combination that you two agreed to come onto this earth plane to do. So from that standpoint, it was foreordained, but you guys were the ones who ordained it because it was your choice before you came here.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. And I think also you will be making more money than you realize from what you are doing. I think you are... That would be nice, wouldn't it?
From your mouth to God's ear.
Yeah, God and me have a good time talking. If not, I pull on his beard and say, now hear this. I have a friend who was horrified one time when I was giving an outdoor party. And this is how the born-again Christian sometimes lacks a sense of humor, I'm sorry to say. But we were talking, and she says, well, it might rain. And I looked at her, and I said, no, it won't rain. She said, well, how do you know? I said, because if it rains, I ask God for it not to rain because it's a really important party. But if it rains, he and I are going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. I thought she made the sign of the cross and bolted for the door. I can tell you this. God has a hell of a sense of humor. Just look at the human conditions. Just look at mankind.
That sounds perfectly acceptable, yeah. True.
And he has a hell of a sense of humor. That's all I can say, because he sits there and I can just hear him laughing half the time. It's like, there they are at it again. My God. Me, myself. Anyway, yeah, you are going to do very well, and I think it's wonderful. Thank you. I think we are being beeped.
Okay.
Is there a caller, or are we being beeped? Okay, we're being beeped. I need to wrap up. Thank you again so very
much.
You're
welcome.
And let's be in touch. I will call when I finish reading your book. And again, thank you, listeners, for listening, and I hope you've all learned something absolutely wonderful today. I know I did. God bless you all. We'll talk again next week at 2 o'clock. We're going to have a Brad Johnson, Canadian, who is a psychic on. And thank you again, Larry. My love to Marie. God bless you, and goodbye, all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.